Well, let's turn to the Word of God, and we're looking at this portion of Mark's Gospel as we continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. And we've come to chapter 2 in this great incident where the Lord Jesus Christ is met by this paralytic and heals this paralytic, not only of his bodily sickness, but also of his soul sickness, his sins. And that is the most important thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ has power and authority to forgive sins. That was, as we're going to see, the most important thing to the paralytic and the most important thing to Jesus as well. But the scribes and the Pharisees reason amongst themselves. Then they say, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, they are saying this because they do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe that he is the one who was sent by God and has these powers, because he is God himself, the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But in and of themselves, of that comment that they are making, it is true. What they're saying is true. Only God can forgive sins. Their fault, as we're going to see, is that they do not recognize, and they will not recognize, Jesus as being God and having that power and authority. But this is something that we must understand too. Only God can forgive sins. Now, you may be thinking to yourselves this morning, well, you know, it's not such a great thing, isn't it? Because we forgive people's sins, don't we? People come to us and they've wronged us in some way, and we say, oh, I forgive you. And that's the end of the matter as far as we're concerned, and the end of the matter as far as they're concerned as well. The Pope is a person who goes around forgiving sins, doesn't he? Or supposedly, anyway. That's what he says he's doing. You kiss his ring and you're absolved from your sins, and God will not punish you for your sins. You go to one of the priests and you tell him your sins, and he gives you something to do. And he then tells you your sins are washed out, washed away, and your sins are forgiven. But they're all wrong. Only God has power and authority to forgive sins. We forgive sins, and we're forgiving something that is against ourselves. We're forgiving an offense, aren't we, to ourselves? And yes, we can do that. But that sin is still there, because that is an offense not only against us, but it's an offense against God himself. All sin is against God. It's breaking his holy laws. It's breaking his commandments. All sin, whether the smallest sin or the greatest sin, all sin is against his holy commandments, those just and righteous and moral laws that he has laid down for us. And therefore, they must be paid for. Just like the same way, if you commit a crime in this country and it's a criminal offense, and you go to the person that you have committed that crime against and you say, I'm sorry that I have committed that crime against you, and that person says, okay, I forgive you, you are still guilty in the eyes of the law, and you still have to go to prison or whatever the penalty is for that crime, and you still have to pay for that crime, don't you? Because you have broken the law of the country, and the person cannot absolve you from that. And it's the same with us. We may forgive somebody who has offended us, but God's laws have been broken, and therefore there must be a punishment and a payment for those laws. That is offense against us. We may not feel that offense anymore, but God feels that offense because he is holy and because he is righteous. They are an offense not only against his laws, but they are an offense against him and his holiness and his morality and his standards that he sets for all mankind. They are offensive to him because we are defying him as the lawgiver and as the king and as the God of all the world. So they are personally offensive to him on those two scores. And therefore, God still requires them from us. And we still must pay for those sins to our God and for the sins that we have committed. Now, in the case of the Pope and those religions maybe that say that they can forgive sins, they are entirely wrong. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can wash away our sins and declare us innocent from our sins. Just let me turn you to a portion of the scripture that may that you may know, and that some people may know, and the Roman Catholic Church quotes as their justification for doing the things that they do. If you turn to John chapter 20 and verse 21, I'll read it out to you. You don't need to turn to it. But John 20 and verse 21, we read this. The Lord Jesus Christ came in amongst his disciples, all the disciples that were there in this place. And he said to them, peace to you. Verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What is that denying what I just said? Is it actually a fact that we can forgive sins, that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can absolve somebody from their sins? Well, how did those disciples understand this? Did they go around absolving people from their sins? And the answer is, no, they did not. They did not do this. So how did they understand it? How did they, who had received this promise from their Savior, how did they interpret what the Lord Jesus Christ had said to them? What did they understand from what he said? Well, if you just turn to Acts chapter 2, you can see very clearly there how they understood it. Acts chapter 2, and I'll read it out to you again. Peter is preaching that great sermon on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit has come down upon them. And he says there in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know that assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, does Peter turn around and say, oh, well, because you're repentant, because you're sorry, I'll say your sins are forgiven and they are absolved? No, he doesn't, does he? He says this, verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, for you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. You see? And then it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted to them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So this is how they understood it. And this is how the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ understands it. That we have the power to say to people that if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent to him, if you do what the Lord Jesus Christ commands you to do and you do it with all your heart, that is sincerely repenting and believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation, trusting in the work that he has done on the cross of Calvary, your sins will be forgiven. Christ will forgive your sins. And you will go free. But if you do not do that, you will fall under judgment of God and you will be punished for those sins. And nothing, and not anything in earth or heaven can absolve your sins if you do not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ meant. Because there is salvation in no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved, but Christ, Jesus Christ alone. You must put your trust in him, and you must come to him, and your sins must be forgiven by him and by the virtue of the work that he has done on the cross of Calvary. Or else, friends, no matter what anybody tells you, no matter what words they say to you, your sins are still upon you, and you will be punished for those sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if he hasn't taken your sin, and if he hasn't absolved you, and if he hasn't cleansed you from all your sins, you are still in your sins. And each and every sin that you have ever committed from the beginning of your life to the end of your life will be, you will be held to account for before the mighty God of heaven and earth. And you will have to answer for all eternity in hell. There is only one way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to have forgiveness for your sins. But praise God, there is one way. He has made that way through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And praise God that our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, has come into this world and given his life a ransom for our sins, that if we believe upon him, we shall be saved. Well, friends, let's look at this incident then, shall we, in the time that is left to us. This incident, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again into Capernaum and he enters into that house in Capernaum. So it's not just a random house that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to. It is a house that he frequents when he is in Capernaum. It is probably Simon Peter's own house where his mother-in-law lives and where the Lord Jesus Christ healed his mother-in-law. It's a place where the people know that he will be. It's a place that the people know that they can find him and bring all their sick and all their ailing souls. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and immediately the crowds gathering upon him. They want to hear him. They want to see him. They want healing from their sicknesses. They want something from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, many of them, most of them, it turns out, do not want salvation and do not receive salvation. And the Lord pronounces a great judgment upon Capernaum because of all the miracles and all the wonders that have been done in amongst them. And they have not believed, and they have not turned and repented of their sins. He said it will be worse for them on the day of judgment than it is for Sodom and Gomorrah, those terrible cities of such depravity and sin. Why? Because they did not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But there were some, there were a few, and here we see a few of those believers, those who really believe that Jesus Christ is God in their midst and is able not only to heal their soul, their bodies, but to heal their souls. And they come bringing a paralytic to him. Now, this man has been a paralytic for some time, for many years. He is laying on a bed. He cannot move. So it looks as though he was paralyzed from probably the neck down. He cannot help himself, maybe from the waist down. He cannot move. And all he can do is lay on the bed and depend on his friends and his relatives to help him. And he has good friends. He has at least four good friends, doesn't he? These men who are willing to carry him and on his bed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they get there, there's a big problem. They can't get through to him. Now, they could give up then. They could say, well, there's nothing more we can do. We've done our best. Let's leave it to another day. Maybe Jesus will be back in Capernaum again. But they don't do that, do they? Because they know that Jesus is the only hope for their friend. And their friend, this paralytic, knows that too. He is desperate. Jesus Christ can heal him. And only Jesus Christ can heal him. Jesus Christ is the answer to all his needs, his spiritual needs and his physical needs. And if he doesn't come before Jesus Christ now, he may very well perish and die in the same situation. So he must know, he must come before Jesus Christ today. That is his feeling. That is his faith. Jesus Christ is his only hope. And therefore, they reason amongst themselves, what can they do? Well, this is a house that is a friend or owned by a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they reason amongst themselves that if they go up on top of the roof and break through the roof, well, it maybe they won't call the authorities and have them arrested for doing this, because they will see it's an act of faith and they'll make good anyway. So they go up onto the roof. They start breaking through the roof. The roof was probably made of wood, some wood panels laid on top with some rushes and leaves, big leaves, palm leaves, and on top of that, a mud layer. And so they could easily break through. It wasn't a concrete roof. They didn't have to go through tiles and felting and other things like that. So they broke through the roof and they made a big enough hole in it so that this man in his bed, laying prostrate in his bed, could be lowered through this enormous hole in the roof. It was an enormous hole, a big hole that they had made. Now, they did this because they believed absolutely that it was essential to get their friend in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his only hope. And the man was willing to put himself into the hands of his friends and trust them to lower him down. He couldn't do anything for himself, but to lower himself down in this bed into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they both had faith, didn't they? His friends, they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The man himself had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see more of this man's faith, don't we? His friends are up on the roof. They have an escape route. But when he's down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has no escape route. He must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will not be annoyed at what he has done, but he will recognize the man's faith and he will respond to the man's faith. He must believe the Lord Jesus Christ is compassionate enough and has enough pity to receive him and not have him cast out of the house for what he has done and what his friends have done. And he must have enough faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can and is willing to help him and to heal him. Or why do it? Why bother? They might as well have just gone home. No, his faith was sincere. His faith was completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his mercy, in his love, in his compassion, in his power, and in his ability and his willingness to heal and to save him from his sins. And I say to save him from his sins because Jesus Christ turns around and says in verse 5, when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, if that paralytic had come only for the healing of his body, he would have been very disappointed, wouldn't he? He would probably have cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "But what about my body? You know, it was all well and good forgiving my sins, but how about my body? I'm still paralyzed. Can't you do anything for me? Can't you heal my body?" But look, friends, not one word. Not one word from him. Why? It's because this man knows that his greatest need is the forgiveness of his sins. And this man has come paramountly to have the forgiveness for his sins, to find that forgiveness that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give to him. He doesn't say one word, not one objection. Not one tear falls from his eyes. No, he's quite happy that he has received the forgiveness for his sins. Well, friends, my first point to you is this. that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Real faith does. It drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It compels us to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope of salvation. Now, you may say to yourself, when I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world. I believe that Lord Jesus Christ is God. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to take away the sin of anybody who would believe upon him. Well, you say that, friends, but why are you still unsaved? Do you really believe that? If you really believe that, why are you not fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ now? Why have you delayed? Why are you still sitting on the fence? Why are you still procrastinating, saying to yourself, well, you know, oh, yes, he can forgive sins, but maybe I can do with, you know, with working a bit more and getting my, you know, getting my credit up with God. And, you know, maybe I can contribute something and God wants me to contribute something. Well, do you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really believe that he is the only hope for you? That there is no other way to come to the Lord, to God, but by him? Then why have you not gone to him? Why are you still in your sins? Why are you prepared to sit back and say to yourself, oh, another day, another day, another day? Why, friends? No. If you really believe that you have offended the Almighty God of heaven and earth, that you have offended the judge of all the world, that he is sitting in judgment upon you now and is angry with the sinner every day, as the scripture says, then you would not delay, would you? Surely you wouldn't delay. You would come to the only one who can give you forgiveness for your sins and plead for the forgiveness of your sins so that you are not in the hands of an angry God. But your sins are cleansed and washed away. If you believe that, friends, that Jesus can do that, why have you not gone to him? Why are you not pleading with him now? Why are you not at his mercy seat in prayer, praying for that forgiveness that only he can bestow upon you, friends? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ has that power to forgive your sins if you come to him? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that he has the mercy and love and compassion for sinners to forgive sins? After all, friends, if he died on the cross of Calvary, surely you must believe that. Why on earth would he die there if he did not have the power to forgive your sins through the work that he has done on that cross? If that is not enough, if it was a waste of time, why would he bother? And why would the Father give his Son? No, of course not. Of course not, friends. He has the power to forgive your sins. He has done the work to forgive your sins. He has shown you the mercy and love that he has for sinners and willingness to forgive sins. Then why? Why, friends, are you delaying? Why will you not come to him and have your sins forgiven and be washed and cleansed from all your sins? Are you too proud? Are you going to perish and die and go to a lost eternity because you are too proud? These people, they weren't too proud. They weren't too proud to go and break through that roof. They weren't too proud to be lowered into Jesus' presence on a bed. Oh, pride. Pride would destroy your soul. Your friends, what is it? Is there something in this world that you think is more important than your soul? That you're selling your soul for the sake of something else in this world? You're sending out on your soul that needs that salvation. What is it, friends? I don't know. Because surely there can be nothing more precious than your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. To know that you are right with the living God. To know that you are forgiven. To know that he loves you and will bless you through this life as one of his dear children. And to know that he will take you to him. And there will be no condemnation for you on that day of judgment. But he will receive you into his presence as one of his dear children, saved and redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his son. Sure, there's nothing, nothing more precious, nothing more important to you now than the salvation of your soul. Is there? Is there, friends? Well, secondly, let's look at the love and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ here. If you need anything to tell you that you can come and find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, you only have to look at this passage, don't you? This wonderful passage. So they came, they broke through the house, and they let this soul, this man down on this bed, this poor soul of this in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoned amongst in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now, again, let me just remind you, it is blasphemy unless the Lord Jesus Christ is God. They're right. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And now he's going to prove to them that he does have the power and authority that is God's alone to forgive sin. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And they hadn't. They've never seen anything like this. Someone who has the power and authority to forgive sin. Somebody who not only has the power and authority to do it, but proves that he has the power and authority to do this. Remember, we were reading in the Old Testament, Moses there, who was the great prophet of God for his people in his time. Moses, who is respected as one of the greatest prophets of God and leaders of God's people. But did he have the power to forgive sin? No, he didn't. He couldn't absolve the nation for their sins or the individuals for their sins. He never did that, not once. What did he do? He prayed to God for forgiveness for his people. That's what he did. He looked to God who forgives sins. That's what he did. But here is one who can do it, and he proves he can do it. He says to them, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? Well, of course, arise, take up your bed and walk, isn't it? Isn't it, friends? Haven't we already established the fact that only God can forgive sin, that it's not in our prerogative, our right or our power to forgive sins? Of course it isn't. They're God's laws, those laws have been broken and only God can forgive them. So the easiest thing is to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, isn't it? But that in itself is an impossibility unless he is God and has power to be able to do that. You see, he is showing them that he indeed is God in their midst and therefore has the power both to heal this man, to raise him up at his word, and to forgive him his sins. So he says, But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Now they must have been standing there with bated breath, mustn't they? They must have been standing there thinking to themselves, well, what's going to happen? But in that moment, as they're thinking that word, wondering whether the Lord Jesus Christ can do this or whether he is the blasphemer, the man immediately, there's no break, there's no waving of his hand, no incarnations, nothing, incantations, nothing. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. This is an incredible miracle. This man has been laying paralytic on his bed. He's paralyzed. He cannot walk. He is utterly dependent upon his friends. That means his muscles have all withered away. If you're in a cast for about, 10 weeks, say, and because you've got a broken leg, you have to almost have to train yourself to walk again. Your muscles have to build up muscle mass again. This man has been like this for years. His muscles are all withered away. He doesn't know how to walk, let alone have the capability to walk. But immediately the Lord Jesus Christ infuses into his body the power into his muscles. His muscles are restored. All that muscle mass is there again. Not only that, but he is able to get up off the floor by his own means, stand on his own feet and walk out normally as though nothing had happened to him. And on top of that, the Lord Jesus Christ has healed the ailment that he had. Whatever meant that he was paralyzed, he has fixed. Whether it's a broken spinal nerve, he has fixed it. It's repaired. Whether it's a disease, it's gone. And all the damage that disease has done to his nerves and whatever else, it's been repaired. This is an incredible miracle, absolutely incredible. Only God can do that. And the Lord Jesus Christ has done it in their sight. Who is he? He is God. Does he have the right and ability and the power to forgive sins? Yes, he does. He's shown them that. He's proved that to them, friends, hasn't he? But let me ask you, friends, has he proved it to you? Has he, friends? Then come to him and find that pardon and forgiveness for your sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you doubt in any way that he has that authority and power, if you doubt that he will receive you and is willing to receive you, if you doubt that he would look favorably upon you, if you truly come to him with a sincere heart of repentance for you being a sinner and for all your sins that you have committed, you don't have to remember them, friends, but sincerely sorry for them, and you're turning away from them and your sinful life and turning to him sincerely in repentance and guilt and shame for your sins. And if you are sincerely trusting in him alone for your salvation, then I tell you, friends, you will be saved. He will receive you. You don't need to doubt and you don't need to fear. That is the promise of the word of God. It's not my promise to you, friends, but is the promise of the word of God. And all you have to do is look at this wonderful miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ to prove it to you. Here it is, friends. Here it is. The Savior of the world proving to you that he can heal you. He can wash away your sins. He can take those sins from you. And through his death on the cross of Calvary, pay for those sins so that God no longer holds you guilty for those sins. It's all dealt with. Jesus Christ has dealt with all your sins on Calvary. If you believe and trust in him. If you doubt, just look here. He has the power. He has the authority. And he has the willingness. He immediately healed that man. And he will immediately heal you if you come to him and repent and put your trust in him. Let me ask you, friends, will you come? Will you put your trust in him? Will you be saved? Will you be cleansed and made clean from all your sins? Or will you continue this day in your sin, offending your God and selling your soul out because you will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray.